Okay, we are picking up from the Gemara with Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We are 5 lines from the top words. Amar Le Abaye, just to remind ourselves what the sugya we're in. We discussed Peshitas Rabbi Yehuda, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we said that we're making a gzera on someone going to accidentally eat the chametz, if you let him be bodik after the Zman Isser. Even while he's doing the bedikah, he's going to come to accidentally eat it. And the Gemara says, is that really true? That someone's going to actually come to be, when someone is allowed to deal with foods that are usher to him, he's going to eat it. When it comes to the chadash, there's an Isser d'Horeisa of having food, which is from the new grain of the crop, which is the new grain specifically of wheat, barley, of the 5 grains. Any of those are going to have the new grain. That's going to be an Isser d'Horeisa to have them before the day after Pesach, Tazayin, B'Nisan, the day after the first day of Yontiv. So that is going to be an Isser d'Horeisa to have them any day before that. Yet the Mishnayos tell the B'Shitas of Yehuda that they would go out full with this crop and they would take the grain and they would prepare it. And Rabbi Yehuda said there was no issue with that. And Rabba just answered, Shani Chadash, Chadash was different since you permitted him. We'll just read, maybe we'll start from there. Shani Amar Rabba, or Rabba, some of Rabba, whatever the gear says, Shani Chadash, Mitoch Shol Etartalo, Adikitov, who's Zachar, that since you permitted him to do it only with a Shinoi, since you only allowed him to do it by doing it in a different way than he normally does, unusual manner, then that's going to be Mutter. So the Gemara says, Suzah, then he's going to remember. The Gemara says, Abaye has a question now. Amar Le Abaye, now that's where we are. Now I understand that this is with the time, meaning with the time actual the guy is doing the plucking, when the people are involved with that type of avoda in regards to the wheat, that's fine. However, what about when they do tchina ve'arkada ma'ikel amimar? But what about when it comes to grinding and sifting? The Mishnah tells us they had flour in hand, so the omer was offered. It's clear that the grain had been ground and sifted, Rashi says. So clearly, what at the end of the day, there's no shinoi when it comes to the grounding and sifting stage of getting the wheat ready. So the Gemara answers, alokasha, tchina berichaya, diyah. No, when it comes to grinding it also, you could use a handmill, which is different, and that's a shinoi. And when it comes to harkada agabe nafa, you would use it with a agabe nafa, meaning it's the back of a sieve. Instead of normally using it with a sieve not facing upside down, he would turn it upside down, and that would make it a shinoi. So the Gemara, again, when in doing a shinoi, we had the Rashi tells us of Vesem Zomar Xerus Kama Kohen. From there, we can learn out that only doing it in the usual manner, but doing it in unusual manner is not asr at all. Midoraisa. So the Gemara says, Ella Hadis Nama. Wait a second. We learn in the Mishnah Kotzrin Beis Hashlachim V'Shavah Makim that a person is allowed to do the reaping stages of irrigated fields and fields in the valley in a normal way. Of a low kochim, but you're not allowed to stack them. So what's going on over here? So there's a long Rashi. Rashi's Rikhus over here. Rashi tells us that one pasuk says uktartem es ktira vavesem, and that pasuk tells us that you're allowed to be kotzer, do the ktira, the reaping before the omer. Another pasuk says though. It says Omer Reishis Ketzir Chem, which is Mashma that it's the first one. So how is that? So the Gemara Menachos Rashi quotes it teaches us that where I'm allowed to bring it for a korban Omer, that is going to be where it's usher to start reaping it. However, anywhere else where I'm not allowed to bring it is going to be okay. And where am I not allowed to bring it? So then Rashi quotes we're not allowed to bring it from Beis Hazvalim, Beis Hashlachim, Beis Hamakim, which are all these examples. The Beis Hashlachim Shemakim is the areas which are not allowed to be brought as the korban omer. So there's no issue with cutting it. However, I'm still not allowed to eat it. There's still an Isser D'Oraisa to eat it. So at this point, I'm not, and also the Mishnah tells us I'm not allowed to stack it. Why am I not allowed to stack it? As Tosas points out, there's no loss in leaving it unstacked. That's what Tosas says. So therefore, the Chachamim didn't allow you to do that point. But again, this Mishnah is telling us that it's according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then what are we going to say? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, why is there no, this is again, it's still, where you're allowed to do the reaping process over here, but you're not allowed to eat it. So why is Rabbi Yehuda not gozer that you're going to come to eat it? There's no shinoi. Ma'ik lamimar. The Mishnah tells you that you're allowed to do it even in ordinary way at this stage. So the Gemara says, so therefore, based on this, Abaye wants to reject that this is being possible as Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. There's another reason why Rabbi Yehuda says it's Asra on Pesach. What's the issue according to Rabbi Yehuda? El Amar Abaye. So therefore, Abaye says, Chadash Bidil Minei. When it comes to Chadash, new grain, a person is fundamentally detached from it. A person is removed from it. He's removed from it because he doesn't eat Chadash all year round, until Nisan, until the second day of Pesach every year, Chadash is usher for so many months here right now. Chadash is totally usher from previous year. Just to point out, by the way, Chadash is still an Isser D'Horeisa for sure in Eretz Yisrael. There's no shaila about that. That's why in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, you don't have any issues with it because we're machmir about it. They wait to send out the new grains only after Tazayin Nisan, where it's much more of a problem is in America. This is not a old shaila. This is not a new shaila, rather. This is a shaila that Ramah already dealt with 500 years ago. This is a very big problem in Ashkenazi Jewry, and the Ramad studied him to be Mekel. He had what a Sveika, why should it be Mekel? Lamaisa Chadash is an Isra Daraisa the Pashas in Chutz Laretz as well. So the Ramah had a Sveika to say, maybe you could say that it was really, it started growing before this year, and then even if it didn't grow, maybe it was harvested after. Everyone points out that the same Suffolk had to have a Sveika. That's all Shaila, how to get out of the Ramah. But the Lamaisa, the Ramah wants to be Mekel and justify the Bach, justify the Minag. There are those more and more in America who are being Machmir for Yashin. Many stores, the pizza stores or whatever, are Machmir for Yashin because we want to have those people who eat that food be Machmir. Many Hamish HaKhsherim also are going to be very Machmir for Yashin. The OU not yet is not Machmir yet for Yashin. Maybe soon they'll be able to start being Machmir for Yashin. But either way, Lemaisa, Yashin is not a Shaila just in Eretz. He sells a Shaila in America, and Shulchan Aruch is very Machmir about it. So what's Fardim do? I'm not sure. Lemaisa, those. A lot of them have problems with even Chadash. They're very machmir about it. Either way, so going back to over here, so we're pointing out that Chadash is Asr most of the year, so therefore a person is removed from it. He knows so often it's Asr. However, Chametz, lo badimene, when it comes to Chametz, a person is, you just ate it an hour ago, so you're afraid a person is going to come to allow him to, you're going to see another cracker. What happened 2 hours ago? I just had a cracker for my, before the Pesach started. I'm not going to remember, and therefore by says, but that's Rabbi Yehuda, that's why he makes a chiluk that you should not do the bedika dafka, you should not do bedika on, after the Zman of Pesach. So we see there's a concept that a person is not badil from chametz, and that's why also chametz, even the Rabbanah are not gonna disagree that normally without doing bedika, it's usher to handle, there's a bayir by matzah, but still, we see fundamentally, even on Erev Pesach, a person is not allowed to handle, chametz whatsoever, and not touch chametz. So that's a shaila. What about on Yom Kippur, let's say, other times where food is usher? Is there an issue of me touching food on Yom Kippur, maybe I'm going to come to eat it. So the Ramah says, Beferish, that we are not Machmir on Yom Kippur to say that maybe you're going to come to eat it. Why not? So the Ramah explains that over there, it's that all food is usher to you. Since all food is usher to you, I know, but Etzem, I shouldn't be eating or drinking on this day. So when you handle your food, kids, your kids' food, and you give them breakfast and lunch, whatever it is that they're eating on Yom Kippur, so there's no shaila you're going to come to eat. You know there's a fast day because you're not eating anything. Masha Enkin over here, you're allowed to eat foods and all of other things. Are Pesach, whatever, on Pesach itself, you're eating matzah, you're eating a lot of food. And you don't realize, oh, this cracker also, let me just put it in my mouth to munch on it, you're going to come to make a mistake. Okay, that's the chiluk that why Badil applies on Pesach, doesn't apply on Yom Kippur. Now, either way, so that's what the Rabbi Yehuda wants to say. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan, Lokasha. Wait a second. You asked the Stira in Rabbi Yehuda with regards to his Shita, what he said about Chametz, and how that contradicted what he said with regards to Chadash. The Chadash, he was not choshen, you're going to come to eat it. And with regards to Chametz, he was. But Rabbanan, our Rabbanan is not a question. What do you mean, Rabbi Yehuda? The Rabbanan also so certain themselves, because when it comes to the case of Chametz, they're not afraid you're going to come to get rid of, you're going to come to eat the Chametz. Yet, they are afraid that you are going to come. They are afraid that you're going to have a problem with eating the chadash. So why is there a chilak in those two cases also? They're also so to themselves, they seem to contradict themselves. So the Gemara answers, so Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha kadashina. Right, Rabbi Yehuda is on a kasha as we've just explained. Rabbi gave it a good teretz. Rabbi said that it's regards to badamine, lo badamine, whether you're removed from it or not removed from it. What about Rabbanan, Rabbanan, nami lo kasha? We can explain the Rabbanan as well, that there's going to be a chilak between the two cases. What is that one? And when it comes to the case, we are choshish. We're choshish by chadash. Chadash, we're afraid a person is going to come if we allow you to deal with the chadash and start doing processes of baking it and getting it ready. You very well might come to eat it. However, when it comes to chametz, you also might come to eat it, but there's a different svara, because who adds from a chazar of a sarfo? Mechal kachamenei. What, at the end of the day, why are we telling you to go do the bedika right now after this man iser? Is because we're telling you to go to the bedika because we're going to come tell you to burn it. So we're dafka telling you to burn it. That's your very purpose of doing it, is to destroy anything you find. So there can't be any greater reminder, Rashi says, that it's the biggest reminder in the world. It's the biggest, the chazaka that you're going to get rid of it, is we're telling you to, that's due for the mitzvah you're doing. So how could it possibly be that it should be usher? That's a svara that the chachamim would respond to why there's a chilek between chadash and that of Pesach. I just saw a beautiful explanation. Rav, the Dvar Yehoshua wants to explain, maybe that's why the Hasidim of the Minhag now became, I think, even a lot of Litvish Olam also, dances on Shabbos and Yontif. Dancing on Shabbos and Yontif, seemingly based on the Mishnah, Beitza is very problematic. It's a Gzera Darabanan, Shema Yisak and Klishir, unless you're going to come to make a instrument, fix an instrument, which is Isser Deraisa of Tikkun Mane. So the question is, why is the Olam knowing to sing Zmiros, and meaning not sing Zmiros is no problem, dancing in a circle, dancing up and down, whatever it might be, Simcha dancing. So some say that's not dancing, Bichlal, so that's not why it's not a Shaila, that's not called real dancing, whatever you want to say on that Nakuda. But another answer is just from the Dvar Yeshua, from this very Gemara. Because what does the Gemara tell you? Ba'etzem, when there's a Din Gzera Derabanan is because you're going to come to do something else. You're going to come to Mimasak and Kleshir. What's the whole point that you're singing and dancing on Shabbos? Is you're having it the Shabbos, to give kibbutz to Shabbos. So that kufa is, that's the idea of who atzma chazir lava sarfo, that b'malchal kamenach, with the gzera d'rabbanan wouldn't apply, that you're coming to burn the chametz, you're not going to forget. You're coming to dance in honor of Shabbos. How could it possibly mean? That's normally when I'm just singing and dancing for other purposes. Then I'm going to start playing my guitar and fix my guitar. But if I'm jumping up and down, l'kavod Shabbos, to dance in a song on l'kavod Shabbos and Yontiv, that obviously is the biggest reminder of Shabbos and Yontiv. I'm dancing for Shabbos and Yontiv. I'm singing Shabbos, whatever I'm singing, that is a reminder of Shabbos. Very interesting shot based on the Gemara over here. Okay, the Gemara continues now. Ravashi Amar to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Lo Kasher. Rabbi Yehuda is also not a question. He wants to give a different teretz than what Abaye suggested. He says, Kemach Bekali Tanan, that the Mishnah speaking dafka of flour and oven, those are gonna be not edible. They're raw. You don't eat them in a raw form. So therefore, there's no shaila in that circumstance. There's no shaila in there that you're gonna come to eat it. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda goes there generally, but there, it wasn't a point where it's gonna become the ochalit. So the Gemara says, Had Rav Ashi Badusa. So now the Gemara explains that Rav Ashi really is mistaken. Rav Ashi is wrong. Why is that? Because Hatenach Mekali Ve'elach. Rav Ashi, I understand that makes sense from that stage where it's no longer fit to eat. But what about the previous point? Mi Kara Ad Kali Ma'ikla Memar, from the point where it's beginning of the harvest, where it's apparently the grain is. I don't know the Matzias so much of grain and the different stages. Apparently, the grain at this point is edible. So since it's edible in the earlier stages of the grain, so then how is you going to explain that Rabbi Yehuda will allow you to be osik with that grain at that point and not come to eat it? So the Gemara says maybe you'll say Vechite Ma'i De Kituf. Kid there, whatever Gersu you had before, where there was Rava before, be Rava here, Rabbi here, Rabbi here. So let's say Kid Rava. So it's going to be like, it's going to be, you're going to say maybe that also there was a chiluk, because over here you're going to do a shinoi. So the Gemara says, Ela kotzim beis hashlachim v'shamakim, but is that really true? We said in the Mishnah that one's allowed permitted to do the reaping of the irrigated fields and the fields of the valleys. At that point we said that was Rabbi Yehuda of Mike Lamimar. At that point, Rabbi Yehuda says there's no issue, and that's the earlier stages of the grain. That's the grain where it's edible, yet Rabbi Yehuda says that it's mutter. So therefore, we have rejected Ravashi. Ella de Ravashi, Badusi. Therefore, we come to and conclude Ravashi is wrong, and we're going to accept the Baya that Rabbi Yehuda's is chiluk is about Badila Mine and Lo Badila Mine. Whether you remove from it or not, remove from it. The Gemara now questions the Baya. The Gemara says, V'chol Hecha de Lo Badila Mine. Is it really true? Where someone is ever not removed from something, Migad Rabbi Yehuda, they would always be goes there. Is that really true? V'atnan. Don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah tells us, Lo Yikov Adam Shofar Shel Beitza. A person is not allowed to pierce an eggshell, V'matan Hashem, and he should fill the shell with oil. This is in Gemara Shabbos, we had this. And put it alongside the lamp, B'shvil Shteimen Atefes, because the oil drips into the burning lamp. And we're afraid a person is going to remove that oil from the eggshell. He's going to use it to eat it. He's going to eat the Shemen Zayas. It's nice, good olive oils. He's going to eat it. And what's the problem with doing that? Then, that based on the Gemara Beitza, she points out that is going to be the idea of you're going to be doing kibbutz. It's a derisa of extinguishing. So the Gemara says. So then that was and even if the thing that you're using was of charis, which Rashi points out, which is something that's very disgusting, and you're not going to come, you thought that you're not going to come to eat the shemen zayin, where it still goes over there. That is the sheet of Rabbanan. However, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's permitted. Olive oil again is something that people are lo badil minei. You can have olive oil all of Shabbos. So I'm definitely not madil minei when it comes to the olive oil. So therefore, why would I assume Rabbi Yehuda is making a gzera? Okay, so that's the point. Bishitas Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi just points out that the Gemara also seems to show that there's a contradiction between the Rabbanan, right? At the end of the day, the Rabbanan are assuming that Chametz is an exception to the rule only in the fact because it's that goof of what you're doing, the purpose of what you're doing it is to get rid of it. Lamaisa, they should hold that this should also be Aser. So, yep. So we're assuming right now that this reason clearly wouldn't apply to the oil in the lamp, and therefore wouldn't be necessarily a stira. So that's what Rashi explains for the shita of Rabbanan. So now the Gemara says. So the Gemara now says v'hasam. So again, when in the case of the lamp, again, Rabbi Yehuda, why does he say it's okay and you're not badil from the oil? Because mishum churma de Shabbos mevadel bedile. Because at the end of the day, the churma of Shabbos, the person is going to be careful. Person extra, everyone knows that Shabbos is a chamor, it's Isser Misa, Isser Skila, Isser Kares. So we're very careful that Shabbos, people are very careful. The Mishnayos have about it. Even an Amma Aretz is not normally believed for any halacha whatsoever. If you ask him on Shabbos, he's so afraid to lie. He's even afraid to lie on Shabbos. Do other acts not even related to Shabbos. He's afraid to lie. You could believe him for a certain halacha about his Truma Meisra on Shabbos itself. So the Gemara now continues. But wait a second, fine. That is why we explain Shabbos. But we're on the Shabbos, Shabbos. Seemingly there's a stira even within the halachas of Shabbos between Rabbi Yehuda. If you have a rope of a pail that snapped and it broke, so then, lo yeh kosher, a person should not tie it back in, because then you're going to be doing kosher, you're going to be doing malacha of tying a knot. So the Gemara says, ela onva, what can you do? You should tie it with a bow. Rabbi Yehuda, Oymer, Rabbi Yehuda says, korech ala punda upuskaya. You should put on this type of a belt or a bandage around it and the torn ends, and you should do that. You should not tie it with a bow. He's saying that tying with a bow is a problem because you're going to come to make a full-fledged knot. If you're going to do a kosher, you're going to do kshira, and they're going to tie the two ends together. He's afraid you're going to start to tie the two ends fully, in which case you're going to kesher shakayam and isra deraisa. So the Gemara now says, kasha derbi derir. Why Rabbi Yehuda was making a gzera over here? He was gozer not to make a ya'an venu. He's not aniva. You're not allowed to make a bow, lest you come to do a real isra deraisa of kshira on a full-fledged kesher shakayama. So the Gemara says, and also kasha derabanan and arabanan. The rabanan also seem to contradict yourself, because in the Mishnah they say that it's mutter to use the beitza to tell you to do the lo yikov adam shofar shel beitza. That they say is aser. Yet over here they're going to say that over here when it comes to the shita rabanan and the brayser, who say that it's permitted to tie the aniva, and they're not goes there that you're going to come to do a keshel shel kayama. So the Gemara answers the rabanan and lo kasha. The rabanan and the shita is not a problem either. Shemen b'shemen micha, because oil is readily confused with other oil. You're eating oil. You're eating oil, so yeah, you can obviously make a mistake, and therefore we're afraid that you're going to come to eat the oil and take it out of its place, and then do kibbutz when it came to that eggshell. However, aniva b'kshir l'michlaf, when it comes to tying a bow, it's fundamentally different than tying a different knot, and therefore there's no reason to make a chiluk when it comes to that halacha. So we basically come out according to Rabbanan, the only time that we're really concerned is a person doing something that will look the same. That olive oil in the lamp is no different than olive oil from anywhere else you're eating it, from the packages, whatever, from the olive oil jars that you have. Therefore, we're going to be concerned that a person is going to be machmir with regards to the olive oil. And you have to be careful. However, in the case of tying, it's a completely different maisa. Tying a knot and tying the aniva is different, so therefore you're not going to come to make a mistake. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, lo kasha. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda also is not a kasha. Taima, Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum, de gazar aniva, atu kshira. The whole reason of Rabbi Yehuda is not because that he holds it out to something else. It's a concern that you're going to tie a full-fledged knot. El mishum, de gazar aniva, gufa kshira. He's holding that actually tying a bow itself is an isra deraisa of kesher shokayama. He holds that it's a malacha of kosher, and you would be over the isra deraisa. That is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rami, the Rabbanan, Rabbanan. The Gemara says, wait, we have another question though. With the Rabbanan, we can ask a stira, a different contradiction between the shita of the Rabbanan. This Nan, the Mishnah tells us, Koshrin Dli Bipiskaya. Someone's allowed to tie a pail on top of a well with a band using a regular knot, of a lo b'cheva, but not with a rope. Rabbi Yehuda Mati, Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted to do so even with a rope. So we see over here, Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay with the rope. So the Gemara says, cheva d'amai. Now what's the case of cheva? What type of rope we're discussing? Eli mecheva d'alma. If you're talking about an ordinary rope, which Rabbi Yehuda said it would be okay, that can't be. Because you're making kesher shokayama, then Rabbi Yehuda Matir, kesher shokayama divide the atal v'tulei. The knot you're making is a permanent knot. You're obviously not going to come to remove it, and that would be an isra d'oraisa. Rabbi Yehuda can't say that it's mutter. Elab shita d'gardi. It must be that we're talking about a weaver's rope. And that type of rope, Rashi points out, is not strong enough, and therefore it's something that is not fit for regular use. Therefore, we're not afraid you're going to come to make a full knot. Because Rabbanan chevel de gardi atu chevel de alma. We're not, and the Rabbanan say that the weaver's rope is, we're going to make we are going to make a chilak when it comes to the weaver's rope, and the fact that maybe you're going to come to tie a regular rope. This is contradicting the ruling in the case of the bow. So again, when it comes to aniva, they didn't make a gigzera, and over here they are. So the Gemara says in Rabbanan say that chevel v'chevel michlaf. When it comes to the rope, you're gonna make a mistake with a different type of rope, and therefore we would make a chiluk and make a gzera, lest you come to make a kesher shel kayama. However, aniva b'kshira lo michlaf. But when it comes to tying a bow, it's not gonna make. You're never gonna. A bow is a different type of kshira. Therefore, you're not gonna make a gzera. Now, so therefore, we don't have a stira between. We don't have a stira with regards to Rabbi Yehuda, because again, Rabbi Yehuda said degardi, and that rope wasn't fit to use, and therefore you were not going to have a kesher shakayama. And Rabbanan also, we just give a teretz as well. Now the Gemara says, "V'kol hecha debadil minei lo gazer Rabbi Yehuda." Is it really true that where people are removed from a certain iser, they're not going to be choshish for it? Batanya, Rabbi Yehuda says, "When did you get Rabbi Yehuda?" Batanya, bechor she'achso dam. If a bechor was had a lot of blood building up on its body, afiluhu meis, even if it's going to die of the fact that it's a lot of blood coming, ain mekazin lo dam. You're not allowed to bloodlet. These are Rabbi Yehuda because we're afraid. We're talking about a behemah of kachim. You're not allowed to make a mum bekachim. It's isra to make a mum bekachim. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't let you even let out its blood, which is not a problem because we're afraid you're going to come to puncture and do a real mum kavua, which would be isra deraisa. Chachamim say yakis. No, you're allowed to bloodlet vilvat shaliyatil b'mum, as long that a blemish does it. You don't have a blemish over there. As long as you don't have a blemish over there, that would not be a problem. So we see over here Rabbi Yehuda saying that it's usher to make it lest you come to make a permanent blemish. A person is very badil from kachim. A person is very careful. We saw that before. A person is very badil. You don't even make a mechitza. We saw that halacha in the earlier dapim of the Gemara. So over here, why should that be that we don't say that we would assume that person is not badil? Hasa mitoch sha'adam baho. That over there we're afraid a person is very careful because he's about to lose money. Amamona, baal amamona. Turning on the second arminan ishartle b'makom shosin b'mum asil mavid b'makom shosin b'mum. That if you allow him to make a blemish, even where it's mutter, we're afraid he's going to make a permanent blemish, which is iser deraisa. Therefore, a person is so careful from doing this he's going to be doing it to the kachim. So therefore, we're again, the behemas kohen over here. We're talking about the bechor. So since the bechor over here, you are going to permit him to do that, we're afraid he's going to make a permanent cut. So now the Gemara says, so that's Rabbi Yehuda's gezeira over here. It's nothing to do with Badil, nothing to do with Badil, and therefore there was no problem on Stira Rabbi Yehuda. However, Rabbanan, how are they going to explain why they make why they allow this to happen? Because Kol Shekein to Ilo Shayis LeKlal Asim Loved. That certainly, if you don't permit him to allow him at all, then you're going to come. He's going to come to violate an Isser Daraisa because he's going to want to save the money, so he's going to violate the Isser Darabanan that you've just made not to puncture a small thing in the animal. And then once he thinks that he's punching a small thing, he's going to puncture a big thing and violate an Isser Daraisa. So we have a very big Sod, that don't go too far in your gzeiras, don't be too far in your chumras, that sometimes if you're too machmir, people aren't going to listen whatsoever. So then they're going to come to violate even worse these terms. So be careful, obviously, shikl, not violating other halacha, we don't violate Isra number up, and also, but in terms of chumras and everything like that, it's a very important gemara over here that we see, that especially when it comes to financial loss, be very careful with balancing a chumra with what can be meikra din mutter, therefore a person won't violate other isurim. So the Gemara now comes on to question this answer. The Gemara says, is it really true that a person is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a person is careful with his money when he's about to lose money, we're afraid he's going to violate an Isser? Is that really true about Tanan? Don't we learn in the Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in Mekarjana Behema, Beyond Gleneshu Se Osechabura. Rabbi Yehuda says a person is not allowed to prepare an animal with a metal comb, and so there's a concept called Kidur. They used to prepare the animal in this way in order that it would not be as painful for the animal when you do the Shechita. So you're not allowed to do this because you're creating a wound, and that's a Chabura. Chabura is a Shaila, is why a person is over Chabura. A person is over because that's Netilas Hashama, that's part of Netilas Hashama, or it's a different Malacha. Either way, so the Maisa is an Isra Daraisa of making a wound on Shabbos. The Maisa is of a Mekartzefin. But a person allowed to pray with a wooden, you're allowed to do the Kirtzuf thing because that does not make a wound. Chachamim say you're not allowed to do either one. So now, so the Gemara says, Vitanya, and we also learn in a Braisa, Ezo Kidur, Ezo Kirtzuf, what is called preparing it in a way of Kidur, what is the way that it was Kirtzuf, what's the difference? Kidur is Ketanim Osim Chabura. Kidur is apparently the comb that you were using, it was like thinner, and it had sharper things, in which case that would create a wound. However, Kirtzuf was Gedolim Ben Osim Chabura, Kirtzuf was preparing the animal in a way that was thicker, and at that point it would not make a wound. So we see from here, even a person is careful to do the animal to preserve their health and not have a mum, Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a kachim, right? It's just time. You want it to be a good animal. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not going to be afraid that that something is going to come out of using the kirtzuf, using the wooden comb. So the Gemara says, Hasam de ishavik le mais. No. What's the difference? Air, in the case of bechor, if you don't treat it, it's going to die. So therefore, Adam Adam El Bama. Then we get to the concept: a person is careful with his money; he's very worried about his money. If we allow him to do that, he's going to come to violate an Isra Daraisa. However, Halacha, when it comes to the case over here of the animal, Ishavik Leit Tsara Belmahu. If you leave the animal unprepared, it is only going to be discomfort for the animal. That's all it is. Sorry, it's going to be painful, but it's not going to be something that's going to ruin your preparation. So therefore, it's not a problem. It's not your mama losing out. It's the animal. You care about the animal, but the Maisa, where push comes to shove, you're not going to cry a river if it is a little painful for the Shechita, as long as you can eat it and you don't lose your money. Therefore, we're not afraid a person is going to be so careful with his money and violate an Isser. So the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yehuda, Maishna, Gabe Chametz, the Gazer, Maishna, Gabe Chametz, the Law, Gazer. What's the difference in Chametz and he makes a Gzera after it becomes Aser? And when it comes to Kirtzav, he doesn't make a Gzera. So the Gemara says, Lechem, Belechem, Lechem. When it comes to bread, you can easily get it confused with Chametz. You eat bread all year long. So therefore, you're going to come to eat it. When it comes to two different, the preparation of a wooden comb and the preparation of a metal comb is two different actions, using different different combs, you're not going to lead the person to come to forget and you start using a metal comb. So therefore, we do not need to make a gzera in that point. And it comes out of here that Rabbi Yudah really accepts Rabbanan that where the malacha is not going to be confused, we're not going to make a gzera. However, Rabbi Yudah says that he would say that you need badil mikhlat, that you would say that a person has to feel detachment. Also, in that case, you would not be banned from doing that circumstance. Okay, so the Gemara continues. The Mishnah now says, Rabbi Meir says, Ochlim kol chametz. Rabbi Meir says that you're allowed to eat chametz the entire fifth hour. So now again, new Mishnah of when the Isra chametz is kicking in. Rabbi Meir says that you eat the chametz the entire fifth hour and you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yudah Omer, Ochlim kol arva. You eat the chametz the entire fourth hour. V'tolim kol chametz, and you leave it tole. You're not allowed to eat it. However, you're allowed to feed it to animals at that point. You're allowed to derive benefits still from the fifth hour. V'sorvin chashes, on the beginning of the sixth hour, you are going to be burning it at the beginning of the sixth hour. Why do we tell you to do it at the beginning of the sixth hour? Because we're afraid you'll come to make a mistake and leave it. Again, they didn't have clocks, they didn't have watches like we have. We're going to see the idea of Eidos, we're going to get into that. But they didn't have exact estimation, so a person clearly can make a mistake within that hour and violate the Isra Daraisa of Chametz in that circumstance. So Gemara now says, also said that they would leave two toda. Korban toda is the korban that you used to bring. It was for a thanks offering to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you used to have 40 loaves of bread with it, and they used to have 10 different types that were chametz and 10 different whatever different sugim of what you had. And the Gemara is going to discuss this more in Daf Yud Gimel. We're going to get to this. So these they used to leave two of them on the munuchas agabe itz on top of the benches in the base of Migdash. We're going to discuss this also. Kozman shemunuchas, as long as they were there, everyone would know this was the siman. This was the way to know. Kolam everyone would be allowed to eat their chametz. Nidla achat tolin. That if, however, one of them was removed, they would know that they were not allowed to eat the chametz anymore, and they would lochem v'lo surf, and they wouldn't burn it yet either. Nidlo shtein. If the both loaves were removed, then it's chilu kolam surf, and everyone would begin burning their chametz. That was what we see from over here. Now the Gemara says, Rabban Gamliel omer chulin nechlin kol arba, that chulin may be in the entire fourth hour. Truma kol chametz, and truma is allowed to be in the entire fifth hour. And you burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. So he allows you to eat truma. Why is that? Because truma is a mitzvah d'oraisa to make sure to guard it. It needs shimar. So unless absolutely necessary, he's going to tell you not to burn it yet. So he gives you that extra hour to eat the truma. That's why he has this chiluk, the shita of Rabban Gamliel. Now the Gemara continues. We're going to quote a long aricha. It's really the end of this amud and the whole next amud of your Beis Amud Aleph to set up the whole shiloh that we're going to discuss. And we're going to basically digress into a whole shaila about Eidos. So now the Gemara says, "Tanan Asam." When it comes to the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, the Mishnah tells us, "Echad Omer B'Shayim B'Chodesh." If one witness says that someone killed someone, let's say in the second day of the month of Echad Omer Shlosh, another one said that it was the third day of them. Eidos and Kayames, that we would accept their testimony. We know that the witnesses have to line up. It's called the Sheva Chakiros. The Gemara is going to mention this explicitly in the next daf. The Sheva Chakiros is 7 questions you have to ask that they have to line up in their question. Where was the guy? What time of day was it? What day of the month was it? What day of the week? What year was it? What year of the Shemitah cycle? What greater year of the Shemitah cycle? Seven chakiras that we're gonna have in the next stuff. You have to ask all of them. If any of them don't line up, so like what day of the month, if they line up, if they're off, that's called a Eidos B'cheshes, it's going to be off, and you do not accept the Eidos. So then we don't accept such a testimony. So now, when it comes to one of them says it was the third day of the month, and the other one says that it was on the second day of the month, so they're off by a day. Yet you're still allowed to say, Eidos B'cheshes, you could say that the testimony is going to be accepted. Why is that? Because this one knows the fact that they added an extra day, and this one doesn't know that they added an extra day. So at that point, we're assuming that we have the right to assume that he just was off by one day, because again, they didn't have a set calendar like we did. So they would have some days being 29, some days 30, and Beis Din would announce it. And not everyone knew about it. They don't have the papers like we have. They don't have a way of accessing information like we have. So one guy didn't know about it, the other guy did. You have the right to assume that you would accept it. So now the Mishnah continues. However, someone says it was the third day of the month. The other one says it was the fifth day of the month. Then Eidos and Betela, then their Eidos would be nullified. They would not be accepted. So the Gemara says, because again, there's 2 days, there's no reason to assume they made a mistake. On 2 days, it could be that he was totally off in the question. So one said it happened in the second hour of the day. So let's say it's a 6 to 6 days. So one said it happened at 8 o'clock in the morning. Someone said it happened at 9 o'clock in the morning. Their edus would be upheld. You don't have to assume that they were off by the hour, and that'd be okay. One said it was the third hour of the day, so it was at 9 o'clock. One said it was at 11 o'clock, then Eidus and Batela, their Eidus would be Batel. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Meir says, because you're off by 2 hours is too far. Rabbi Yehuda says, Eidus and Kayama, said that we would accept that even if they're off by 2 hours. However, Echon Rabbi Chamesh, Echon Rabbi Sheva, one says the fifth hour of the day, 11 o'clock. The other one says that it happened at 1 o'clock, then Eidus and Batela, then everyone's going to agree that their testimony is not invalid. Why? Because Shabbat Chamesh, Chamesh, the fifth hour, the sun is positioned towards the east. But Sheva, where do you know that's Chatzos, midday. Everyone knows when midday is, because midday, the sun starts moving at what point it was. Even the times of Gemara, they all knew what time Chatzos was, so therefore, you cannot assume that they had the same Eidos, so that even that within 2 hours at that point, we would assume that their Eidos is Batel. So, Amar Abaye. So now the Gemara wants to analyze this point of the Mishnah. That according to Rabbi Meir, we can see that a person doesn't make any mistakes when calculating his time. A person can make a mistake with a half hour. How does this work? A person doesn't mistake at all. What can we assume that when did this happen? It happened in the second hour of the day and ended at the end of the second, meaning the very beginning of the third hour. So now the Vahad Gamar Shtayim, when a guy says the second hour, I said it happened at 8 o'clock, I said in the hour of the 8 o'clock. So it's happened in the, I'm not exactly sure, second hour of the day, so anywhere from 8 to 9. I really meant at 9 o'clock. B'sof shtayim, I meant the very end of at 8:59 seconds, 9 o'clock. However, Ad Gamar B'shlosh, so when the guy said it happened at 9 o'clock, he meant also the very beginning of 9 o'clock. So really, they weren't arguing. So therefore, that's what comes out of Rabbi Meir, that they didn't make a mistake whatsoever. L'divir Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toya Chatzi Shah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that a person can make a mistake within a half hour. How does that work? Ma'isek Yave B'Bal Gadar B'Hava. That when did this happen? In the middle of the fourth hour. The 3.5 hours, the beginning of the day. That's when it happened. Ad Gamar Shlosh, B'sof Shlosh, and that the fact that he said the third hour, which is the beginning of the fourth hour, he erred a half an hour early. And we said the fifth hour, he meant to say the beginning of the fifth hour. So what do we see? That he really meant he was really only a half hour off. Once at 4, once at 5, once at 4:30, and once at the fifth hour, then he's going to type, he's a half hour late, and therefore each one is only going to be off by half hour. Okay, we'll pick up Mirza Shem with the Iker Damir. We'll pick up Ezra Shem tomorrow.